You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
Fitting for what we're going through. I believe that God is speaking in this time, and God is the only one that can speak through a pandemic. But I hear his voice loud and clear. And if you have your Bibles, you would open them to the Gospel of Mark in the 4th chapter. Gospel of Mark, the 4th chapter. And we'll begin our reading at verse 35 and conclude all the way through the end of the chapter, verse 41. Mark 4 and 35, it says, "In the same day, when the eve was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitudes, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with them other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind and waves and beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awakened him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And when he had said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? My thought comes from verse number 38. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awakened him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And I would like to take for a subject for this text, Jesus cares about you. Jesus cares about you. There are times in this life that we run into situations and circumstances that will cause us to call out unto the Lord, cause us to get in touch with that inner man and cry out to God about our situation. And there are times that God will delay and will not answer us immediately. There are times we'll see that the storm begins to rage in our lives. I don't know what yours is. It may be the death of a loved one. It may be a sickness or a loss of a job. It may be wayward children that are pressing upon your heart. But needless to say, we all will cry out to God. And there's some time that the silence will be deafening because God says nothing. And you're left wondering that, God, do you really care? Do you really care whether or not I'm going to make it through this storm? And I know sometimes that we don't want to admit that. But even if you don't speak it out loud, I know that somewhere in your mind, you're wondering, God, where are you? Don't you care about what I'm going through? Don't you care that I'm going to perish? Much in the same way with these disciples. The Apostle Peter says that we're to cast all of our cares upon him, for he cares for you. The psalmist put it this way. He said, when I consider thy heavens and the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou have ordained, he says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visited him? Yes, Jesus is qualified to care about you, to care about me. For Jesus has control over everything. It's not that Jesus don't hear your prayers, but Jesus is trying to work some things out in your life. Jesus is still in control of everything. No matter what your situation, no matter what your problem is, Jesus is still in control. Jesus is in control because he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus is in control because he created the world and everything that's in the world. John 1 and 2 and 3, it says, the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Colossians seems to support him. He says, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are in the earth. Those things that are visible and invisible, whether be throne or dominion or principalities or powers, all things were created by him. He created it all. Jesus, the Word of God, spoke it into existence. And he's the only one that can speak it into existence. But understand this, not only is he in control, not only did he create everything, but he also holds everything together. Because verse 17 of Colossians says that he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So even though Jesus was in the world, he was still holding the world together at the same time. Yes, we need to understand that even God, Jesus Christ, is in control of even our storms. Understand that, saints, that God controls the storm. There's not one storm that happens, whether literal or figurative, that God does not allow in our lives. And understand that God has a purpose for every storm. There's a purpose and a plan beyond every storm. Because storms refine our faith. Adversity stretches us and causes us to trust more and more in Jesus Christ for our needs and our strength. Listen here. Trials are the classroom for our spiritual growth and development. But understand that just because we're Christian, we are not exempt from storms. We face storms because we're human. And we live in a fallen world. Being Jesus' disciples did not protect them from their storm. We live in a world where there are many storms, both literal and figurative. Christians experience literal tornadoes. They experience hurricanes just like everyone else. Christians likewise face storms such as sickness, accidents, disappointments, and yes, even death. Paul certainly experienced the perils of storm in a shipwreck. For in 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, he writes, three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwrecked. A night and a day, I have been in the deep. In journeying often in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathens, in perils in the cities, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, and in perils among false brethren. But he concluded, he said, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and in thirst, and in fasting and in cold and nakedness. Oh, Paul understood that he was going to suffer for the cause of Christ. As a matter of fact, Paul warned Timothy in 2 Timothy. He said, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Jesus made us a lot of promises, but the one thing that he did not promise us is that we would be exempt from the storms of life. We face storms because we are Christians. And Jesus warned that we will experience tribulation. He and his disciples faced tribulations. He writes in John, the 16th chapter, verse 33, he said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace, and in the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Jesus had already done it. Peter tells, he wrote in 1 Peter 4 and 12 and 13, he said, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange things happened unto you. Listen here, this is what he says. He said, but rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Jesus does not exempt us from storms, but he promised us never to leave us nor to forsake us, even in our storm. And so our text picks up. Mark, the 4th chapter, verse 35, and it says, and the same day when the eve was coming, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Talks about that same day. Jesus had been busy. The day started early in the morning. The crowds had come, and they had begun to close Jesus in. He was forced to take a boat and go by the seaside. And from this boat, he began to teach the people in parable. The text said that there was a great multitude, and so he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea in the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them his doctrine. He talked about the parable of the four soils, the conditions of the heart. He dealt with them and told them to heed what you hear, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He talked to them about the parable of the growing seed. This is a parable that describes the Christian growth, that we're not in control in how much and how fast we grow. All we can do is plant and water, but God controls the growth. Parable of the mustard seed. Don't despise small beginnings, for you realize that a mustard seed is the smallest seed there is, but it has the greatest production of most seeds. And then Jesus took a little time to have some private teaching with his disciples, that he might be able to explain the parables. These disciples were a collection of men that came from all walks of life. We know that there were fishermen. Peter, James, and John, and Andrew were fishermen. According to Mark's gospel, Jesus also faced a demonic man who had a fierce demonic spirit in him that Jesus would cast out. Jesus had also dealt with opposition from both friend and from foe. But now the day has come to a close. Jesus is no doubt tired. He's weary. He's been pulled on. It's a full day's ministry work. In athletic terms, Jesus has left it all on the field. He's given of himself. He's poured himself out because Jesus has great compassion for people. Which leads me to believe that the disciples must not have understood this. Because here Jesus is, he's caring for folk that he does not even really know. But yet these disciples have been with him all the time. And yet and still they could say, "Master, do you care that we're about to perish?" So he says that, "Let us pass over on the other, to the other side." Now this is key, my brothers and sisters. Because here he says, "Let us pass over to the other side." He did not say, "Let me pass over." So if Jesus spoke the word, "Let us pass over," they needed to understand that if Jesus passed over, they were going to pass over with him. And understand, my brothers and sisters, you've got to have faith in what God says. You cannot look at the storms that are around us. You can't look at the winds, and you cannot look at the waves. But you've got to focus on Jesus. "Let us pass over on the other side." The disciples, in this sense, were in the will of God. They simply did what the Savior had said. Understand that sometimes we will encounter storms through no fault of our own. There's reasons why storms come in our lives. God has a purpose for every storm. And these disciples were doing exactly what Jesus had told them to do. Reminds me of when I was a little boy. And I was accused of doing something that I had not done. Now, I'd done a lot of stuff as a little boy. And my mom was working midnight shift. And she had called the house, and someone had called her and told her that I had did this crazy thing. I did some stupid stuff, but I wasn't about to do no crazy stuff. And so she said, "Well, when I get home, I'm gonna get the belt and we're gonna mix it up a little bit." And so she did, sure the form. I went to sleep thinking that she would forget. But she woke me up whooping me. If you ain't ever been woke up being whooped, that's terrorizing to a kid. But lo and behold, a few days later, I had tried to explain to mom. I said, "No, you know, I told her who did it." A few days later, one of the neighbors came down and said, and confirmed what I had said. Said, Terry didn't do that. That was such and such and such. I don't even remember the guy's name. And I just knew at that point that mama was going to come to me and say, "Son, I'm sorry. I apologize. Come on, let me take you and get some ice cream." But no, mama came back to me and said, "Well, that whooping was for something that you did that I didn't know about." In other words, what I'm saying is that there's sometimes you're going to suffer some things even though you have not been wrong. And so these disciples, being obedient to Jesus, get in the boat. And the Bible says in the text in verse 36, he says, "And when they had sent away the multitudes, they took him even as he was in the ship." Now understand this, that they said that they took him as he is in the ship. In other words, we've got to accept Jesus just as he is. Jesus is not going to change. Jesus is God, and he said that I am the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. In other words, we cannot accept Jesus on our terms. We have to accept him on his terms. We are not to change Jesus, but we're to let Jesus change us. And understand this, that a part of being in the storm was a method of changing their very lives. In other words, saints, you should not come out of a storm the same way you went into it. You ought to be better coming out of the storm than you was when you went into the storm. They accepted him as he was. And there were also with him other little ships. Yes, these disciples who had made their living on the Sea of Galilee. They made their living as fishermen on the Sea of Galilee. And there's something interesting about this Sea of Galilee that really brings into focus the storm capabilities of this lake. Because that's what it really is. The Sea of Galilee is really a fresh lake in Israel. It is the lowest freshwater lake on the earth and second lowest lake in the world other than the Dead Sea. Its level is about 700 feet below sea level. It is approximately 33 miles in circumference, and it is about 13 miles long, 8 miles wide. It has an area of 64.4 square miles. And it is fully, and it is maximum depth is 150 feet. The lake is fed partly by underground hot springs, but its main source comes from the Jordan River, which flows through it from the north, south, about 10,000 feet. The Sea of Galilee was, and still is, the primary source of food. Because of its unique position as the lowest freshwater lake in the world, it has much been studied in its unique properties. Scientists have discovered that there is an abundance of algae in the waters of the Sea of Galilee, or this lake. It is food for fish. So there's an abundance of fish there. As a matter of fact, in 1896, one boat brought in over 9,000 pounds of fish. This is a very unique lake. This is a lake that was a gift from God to Israel. And even to this day, this lake is a major source of food and water for Israel today. It supplies 50% of the water supply to Israel to this day. Oh, I tell you, this is a miraculous, this is a very unique lake. This lake is surrounded by mountains. Essentially, on the west and the northeast, there are mountains that rise up to 1,500 feet. On the northeast, they have mountains that rise up to 3,000 square feet, up always into the Golan Heights. And so when the wind comes out of the mountains, they come down and they pick up steam. There's high pressure that comes down. The cold air comes down and it meets the hot air of the water. And it causes a violent storm due to the two mixing of the high pressure and the low pressure, the cold air and the hot air. This is a perfect condition for storms. And so they set out. And there is a calm before the storm. Because we see that they entered the desert. As a matter of fact, Luke tells us that Jesus fell asleep. He fell asleep. As a matter of fact, Mark tells us that he took a pillow and laid his head on it and went to sleep. You got to see this, because here in Luke it says that they sailed. That this was not a row. This was not a tedious journey. Picture Jesus in the part of the boat, and how the waves had rocked him to sleep. He was already tired from the day's journey. And now the gentle breeze that's coming, the calm that's there, Jesus falls fast asleep. This is a perfect example of his humanity. Great demonstration of his divinity. He's asleep. It's calm. everybody's calm. There's a calm before the storm. But then it says that a great storm and the winds beat into the ship so that it was now full. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, the winds come down out of the mountain and come crashing into the water. Now, understand, it's believed that this happened in the wintertime because that's when the greatest storms happened on the Sea of Galilee, was during the winter months. Because of the warmth of the heat, the heat springs that were coming out from up underneath, and the cold wind that was coming off the snow-capped mountains, these winds would pierce through the water and cause an earthquake-like shaking, cause the winds to billow, cause the winds to roar. And it says here that the ship had begun to fill up. Now, no doubt that these fishermen understood how to handle this situation, at least they thought. No doubt they began to try to throw water overboard to get it out of the ship. But here we see Jesus is still asleep. Here we see the calm during the storm. Because while everybody else is panicking, while everyone else is fearing for their life, Jesus is still asleep. He's not worried about it. He's still asleep. And understand, that's how we need to go through the storms. Understand this, that in a perfect situation, in a perfect situation, the disciples should have really, instead of panicking, should have looked for a pillow and crawled right up next to Jesus and went to sleep. But I began to wonder, I said, why is it that Jesus did not wake up? I mean, I've been tired. I've had some situations where I've been tired, but I wake up if something loud or something, a storm is going on. But here we find Jesus is still asleep. And I've got two theories concerning this. One is human, and the other is divine. The human one is that he was just plain tired. He was just plain wore out physically, and he was fast asleep. But the other one is that Jesus understood that his death would not come by drowning, that he understood that his death would come on a cross at Calvary. And so that's why he could sleep on, because he knew that he was not in danger of drowning. He understood this. And so he was able to just sleep on. But my brothers and sisters, sometimes we need to take an example from Jesus. We need to understand that Jesus is our perfect example of how to go through a storm. Understand that the disciples were fearful. Fear is a natural emotion that we have. We don't have to ask for it. It just happens. If you don't believe me, let a police car get behind you. You'll feel the fear. But understand this, that when you're talking about fear, faith canceled out fear. And so instead of acting in fear, if they acted in faith, they would have laid up right next to Jesus and went right to sleep. Listen here. Understand that this pandemic is just a storm. And we need to endure it through this storm. Don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. Because Jesus is on board. Jesus has promised us. He's made us promises already that he's going to keep us. There are some that are dying from this dreaded virus. There are Christians that are dying from this virus. And understand that it's not because of lack of prayer, not because of a lack of faith, but it's because of the will of God. I don't care how much you pray, I don't care how much faith you have. Your prayers and your faith will always be in subjection to the will of God. God's will is going to be done. But even if he takes us out of here, even if God would have taken my life, the Bible says that absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. I know that I'm going to die from something because it's appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment. But I thank God that I survived this storm. It came with a lot of prayer. It came with a lot of praise in God. It came with a lot of faith in God. Because I realized that I can't do it on my own. This has shown me how frail I really am, how vulnerable I really am. There's nothing that I did in my life to warrant to still be here. It's only because of the grace of God. And it's the grace of God that's going to keep you as well. I know that we see people dying, but God said not so. Because he's able to keep us. Jesus is still sleeping. So even in the midst of the storm, we see that they're still calm. Calm before the storm. The calm after, during the storm. But then there is the calm after the storm. For it says that they went and they woke Jesus up. And they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Interesting that they had to wake Jesus up. That's just how much faith that they had. But understand that this is a prayer of the disciples, even though it does not seem like a prayer, but it is a prayer. They're going to Jesus and said, listen, we've tried everything we could try. We didn't want to wake you, Master. We thought we had it under control, but we're perishing here. There was enough winds and enough waves to overtake this ship at any moment. But here they have to go back and wake Jesus and say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? That's foolishness. Because Jesus is God. And Jesus loves and cares for everybody. He said that it is not his will that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. So Jesus cares about them. And Jesus cares about you and your situation. All he's asking you to do is have faith in him. All he's asking you to do is to trust him. All he's asking you to do is to keep calm in the midst of the storm. Because he'll bring everything to an end. And that's exactly what Jesus did. It said that he arose and rebuked the winds. And said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Jesus got up and he rebuked the wind, but he spoke to the sea. To rebuke is to charge someone. It's to challenge someone. It's to silence someone. And that's what Jesus got up. He stood up and he told the wind to cease, to stop. He rebuked it because it was the wind that was causing the water to do what it did. And after rebuking the wind, he spoke to the sea. He said, peace, be still. Now understand that this peace be still in the Greek is in the continual. So what he's really saying is peace be still and continue to be still. In other words, don't stop being still. In other words, Jesus is saying that I come to put this to an end. It's like a principal coming into a classroom that is erupting with bad kids. And the minute he walks in and clears his throat, everything shuts down. That's kind of like what Jesus did. He spoke and everything just stopped. This was an impossible situation. Just a few minutes ago, we were perishing, but now the storm has ceased. Understand, my brothers and sisters, that God is going to bring this virus to a cease. But it's going to be in his time. It's going to take us crying out before him. Because America is not going to cry out to him. It takes the believers crying out to God and asking God, Lord, you flatten the curve. Because we've been trying and we can't do it. A lot of people are waiting on a vaccine. I'm waiting on one too. But I'm waiting on Jesus. I'm waiting on Jesus to say, okay, enough. Go back to where you came from. Because don't you know that if it's not the coronavirus, it'll be another virus. So finding a vaccine is not the end all be all. Because you may have another virus that comes right behind it. The only antidote and solution is Jesus Christ himself. So what will you do in the next storm? You've survived this storm. You're surviving this storm. But understand that there's a storm that's coming, and it's moving this way. And if your soul is not anchored in Jesus, you will drift away. Jesus puts a stop, and it says, and there was a great calm that came. Understand that he says that it's a great calm. You see, because a great storm needs to have a great calm. It was peaceful once again. But then Jesus turns to the disciples and he says, and says, why are you so fearful? And that's my question to you. Why are we so fearful? If we believe God is who he says he is, if we believe that he loves us unconditionally, if we believe that we are the apple of his eye, if we really believe that he loves us beyond everything that he ever created, that we are his prized possession, then why are we fearful? I know some of us know that we're going to die. We're just not ready to die right now. But understand that if God takes us out of this earth right now, heaven is waiting on us. And I'd rather be with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But God has got some more work for me to do down here. And I'll do it. I'll work. I promise I'll keep working until he calls me home. But he says, how is it that ye have no faith? In other words, disciples, how is it that you've watched me feed the multitudes? You've watched me turn water into wine. You've watched the miracles, the healing miracles that I did. How is it that you don't have any faith? I took you by my side and I explained to you the keys of the kingdom. I told you all the things, the hidden things, the mysteries of God. How is it that you have no faith? Because it's faith that will get us over. It's faith that will give us the endurance to make it through this. So somewhere, brothers and sisters, you got to dig down deep and grab hold to that faith that you have. Because God gives every man a measure of faith. You've got to grab hold to that faith. And you got to hold on to it like it's a life preserver. No matter what you hear, no matter what they say, you got to hold on to your faith. You got to keep holding on. Don't give up. Be encouraged. God is healing people even in this. Just read that a 99-year-old woman, grandmother, great-grandmother, was healed of the coronavirus. I see other reports of a 90-year-old woman in Seattle who was on her deathbed from the coronavirus, and how they came in and allowed her family to come in one by one to give their last words to her. She said, "I did not think that I was going to make it through the night." She said, "All I had was my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I lay there at night," she said, "I felt the hands of Jesus touch me." She said, "I couldn't see his face, but I knew that his presence was there. And every time it became difficult for me to breathe, he just kept his hands on me till I made it through the night." A week later, she walked out of the hospital because of her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's our faith that's going to get us through. But not necessarily just our faith, but it's our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you know that Jesus is bigger than this pandemic? Don't you know that Jesus is bigger than any problem or situation you got going on? Don't you know that Jesus is everything that we need to get through this pandemic? But you got to have faith. Seems as though the pandemic is not necessarily the only storm. There's some economic storms that are coming. Businesses have shut down. People have lost their jobs. Companies have gone bankrupt. It has been said that the economic impact of this pandemic could last for years. But needless to say, it's just a storm. God can create a new job for you. God can supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. God has everything that you stand in need of. Don't be dismayed. Don't be upset. But just trust God. Yes, so Jesus rebuked them for having no faith. But look at verse number 40. It says, "And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, 'What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?'" So what we see here is that these disciples have been changed. Now they see Jesus in a whole new light. Church, that's what I'm talking about. You should not come out of this the same way. You should be looking at this text and saying, "What manner of man is Jesus that he let me survive through this pandemic, through this virus, this COVID-19? It was God that brought us by. God brought us out of this. We're not smart enough. We're not wise enough to get out of this ourselves." Jesus fully understood that this was not the way that he would die. He knew what the scriptures had said, how he would be marched from judgment hall to judgment hall. Yes, one Friday they marched him, took him before Pontius Pilate, accused him of things that he never did. For the scripture declared that he had no guile in his mind, that he was perfect in all of his ways. But yet they accused him. Pontius wanted to release him, for he said that, "I find no fault in this man." But the Jews were persistent out of jealousy and envy. They excited the crowd and said, "Crucify him. Crucify him." They even used their trump card and said that if you don't crucify him, then you're no friend of Caesar's. So Pilate gave in to the mob cry. Pilate surrendered and washed his hands of it, but gave over my Savior to be crucified. They marched him up on Golgotha's hill. They nailed him in his hands. Thank you, Jesus. Pierced him in the side and riveted his feet. Put a crown of thorns upon his head. Yes, he suffered right there on the cross. But he spoke out his mouth, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Does that sound like a Savior that does not care for you? He cared enough to go all the way to Calvary's cross for you, to give his life for you. For he said, no man takes my life, but I give my life as a ransom for many. I want you to know I was in the many, and so were you. He gave his life. He hung upon the cross, hung his head in the locks of his shoulders, gave up the ghost and died. The devil thought it was over, began to celebrate. They came and they took Jesus' body off the cross, put it in a borrowed tomb, and he laid there Friday night, all day Saturdays, Saturday night. But the record declared that he rose on the third day with all power of heaven and earth in his hands. He did it for us. Jesus is our anchor in the time of storm. Because of what he did on Christ, on Calvary, he's able to steady our ship. And even though we're going through this and we may be rocking and reeling, but Jesus is on board because he rose with all power in his hand. And he's able to keep us steady. Yeah, we may have our rough days. We may grieve and stand by the graveside of loved ones, but Jesus is still there. And he's still worthy to be praised. Because at the end of the day, it's his will be done. And his will is to love us with an everlasting love. His will is to give himself, and we're to give ourselves to him. So I hope and pray that when we come back together, that we'll come back as a united church that is willing to commit ourselves to service. We're willing to commit ourselves to living lives that God can be pleased with. We need to come back with an improved prayer life. We need to come back with a strengthened faith. We need to give a greater appreciation for life. We should be moved to a deeper level of commitment to God and his work. This pandemic should provoke us to live healthier lives, to improve our economic standings and better stewardship. But most importantly, it should give us a greater love for God and his people. This is what we should look like. And I pray that God is moving in your life even as we speak. I pray that God is doing a miraculous work in your life, because he's done one in my life. Yes, this is just a storm. The storm is passing over.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.